Good morning, upstate Josh Jen. We have missed you folk, really, those that we know quite well. We've really missed you. It's so great to see some familiar faces. Brandon, Mindy, we haven't seen you for donkey years. Hello, you precious children. So lovely to see you. And I saw Andrew and Ryan go to the back. It's so lovely to see them as well. If I miss anyone, I do apologize, but I mean, three quarters of the church, I've greeted you, Lon, already. Three quarters of the church is brand new people. That's so wonderful. And God has done amazing things, real, real miracles. So this morning's message is entitled Fruits of Rejection. And that title in itself could be a crazy title. So I was driving in the car a few weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago, and the Lord popped it in my heart. He said to me, rejection is good for you, Mac. And I said, no, Lord, I'm sorry, I beg to differ. How can you tell me rejection? Who likes rejection here? Raise your hand. If you like it, come lay hands on me because I struggle with rejection. Does anybody like rejection? Okay, so I need to convert myself and yourself through what we're going to discuss this morning. The Lord said to me, you know what? I want to challenge you, tell you that rejection is good for you. And then my journey started. But before I continue with the message, we have a good friend of ours, and her story is that her mom always criticized her. She always felt not good enough. Her mom always criticized her. Whatever she did, the mom criticized. If she cleaned the house or helped with dishes or cooking, the mom wasn't happy with it. And the mom would often swear at her and use derogatory words about her, cut her down, criticize her. And this friend of ours had to decide, is she going to allow this to build up such an anger and resentment in her heart? Or is she going to go to God and say, God, what do I do with this rejection? The person that's supposed to love on me, care for me, appreciate and value me is actually rejecting me. I don't know how many of you have gone through family homes where your father or your mother, those that are supposed to love you, actually treat you badly. And this friend of ours had to go to God and say, Lord, what do I do with this? What do I do with this pain, this rejection, these bad things that my mother's saying to me and cutting me down and criticizing me? And as she sat at the Lord's feet, God started giving her understanding, insight, started giving her love for her mom, despite the mom's behavior towards her. She started seeing the mom through the eyes of God. And as she saw the mom through the eyes of God, her heart started changing. And she started valuing her mom and seeing her mom's brokenness, her mom's lostness, that her mom needs the Lord, that her mom also comes from a rough background. Her mom sits with her own rejection. So, when we say that rejection is good for us, and there are fruits of rejection, there's a significant condition for that to be good for you. The condition is that we will turn to God in that rejection and not turn to the delicacies of Satan. So what are the delicacies of Satan that he presents to us as an escape from rejection? Anybody wants to take a chance? Andrew. What would the world give us to escape from rejection? Obvious. Alcohol. Pleasure. Lust. Drugs. Food. So the enemy comes with a tray full of these lovely chocolate delicacies, but inside them, they're cyanide. They're not good for you. They look good initially, but then they poison you. So the condition for having fruits on your rejection, for God to use your rejection, is that you go to God with your rejection. Not to the enemy. Not eat from his delicacies. Not be distracted by him. Not eat from him. But to go to the Lord. It does sound crazy to say, rejection is good for you. And I want to even go further this morning. I want to say, you should embrace rejection. And welcome it. Am I crazy to say that? We're going to see it in the Lord of Lords doing that. Christ did that. Embrace and welcome. Actually say, Lord, let more people reject me. Because the fruit that will come out of it can be positive if I use that negative power to come and sit at the Lord's feet and get sustenance from Him, get fruit from Him. If it causes you to turn to God, to pursue Him and find answers, to find understanding, comfort, hope, then you will grow in the Lord and you will grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Now, when the Lord says, have the fruit of the Spirit, what are the fruits of the Spirit? Anybody know them off by heart? Chris, you do? Kindness, love, patience, peace, goodness, gentleness, joy, faithfulness, and self-control. Are those supposed to be there when everything's going well with me? No. Are they supposed to manifest through me when everything's hunky-dory? Is that an American term or just the English crazy term? We don't know if we're English or we're South Africans. We use English terms and we use South African terms. We're a bit confused. So if everything's hunky-dory, is that when the fruit of the Spirit should manifest through your life? When the opposite's been done to you, the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, then when you're in the Spirit, you act with the fruit of the Spirit. So rejection is loving you. Is it? No. Isn't it? It's ugly. It's nasty. So when rejection comes your way and you ingrained in God and you use that rejection to go sit on the lap of the Lord, then the fruit of the Spirit under pressure manifests. That's when true fruit of the Spirit manifests, is when we get resistance, when we get rejection, and we can still be kind and loving to somebody that's miserable and horrible, like this lady we spoke of with her mom. Well, you can turn the other cheek and be the least. Who here finds it easy to turn the other cheek? Anyone? Lucas, come, slap me on the face. Is it Lucas? Luke. Come, stand up, please. They won't forget this. That's why we need... Just slap me. Come. No. A proper slap.
Come on, man.
Come on. Okay, who's... Lon. Oh, my wife. Yes, yes, yes. My wife. Mike can slap me. Come. Mike's a tough guy. Aaron, you won. You don't mind the illustration. Come slap me. Yes, that's it. I won't ask you to slap harder. Thank you, Aaron. And then I turn the other cheek.
We're going to do it again.
Come.
Round two.
Yes, that's too soft, but okay. So rejection is somebody slapping you in the face. How will you grow? How will you learn to turn the other cheek if the one cheek is not slapped? That's common sense. We don't think of this stuff. How will I learn to turn the other cheek if I'm not pressurized to turn the other cheek? If everything happens to me as I want it to happen, if everything is lackadaisical comfort and just to please me, will I grow spiritually? No, I won't. I'll become fat, ignorant, arrogant, and proudful. Who here struggles with pride like me? Yeah, we all struggle. It's a battle we have to fight all every day. So, Scripture says, fix your mind on that which is true. So that was Galatians 5:22 to 23, the scripture I use now, the fruit of the Spirit. Sorry, guys, I'm not mentioning the scriptures. Then in Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, it's just a reference. I'm going to just paraphrase it. Fix our minds on that which is true and honorable, right, just, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise. Wow. That's a tall order. It's very easy to be honorable, true, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think on those things. Excellent and worthy of praise when your mom's treating you lovely. When she's giving you all the love you need and nurturing it. Then it's easy to give it back. But when she's doing the opposite of that in this specific illustration, to then have that love, to then be honorable to somebody that doesn't deserve honor, to then be pure, to then be lovely, to be admirable, to be... Then you truly can call yourself a what of what? A child of God. A child of God. Christianity is tough, people. It's the hardest thing you've ever tried to endeavor to fulfill and represent Jesus Christ. It's not easy. Who here has felt you want to resign as a Christian? Yeah. It's a tough thing that God asks us to do. But with his ability, with his power, with his spirit, we are able to truly be conquerors. As Paul said, I am more than a conqueror. And he was going through a tough time in his life. He was being persecuted, beaten, in jail, etc., etc. When we embrace and actually invite rejection, we grow our characters and we'll grow our love as Christ loves us. What's real love? Is real love loving somebody that gives me love back? Even the pagans do that. Luke chapter 6. Is true giving, giving something to someone, money, love, assistance, servanthood, whatever you want to give, is true giving, giving to somebody that you know will return the favor? No, it's not. Who wants to become more like Jesus? Start loving rejection. Start embracing it. It's good for us. Because if it takes us to Christ, it's very good. If it makes our intimacy closer with Him, it's fantastic. It's your choice. Are you going to let it? Are you going to let this rejection make you become bitter, resentful, angry? Then you're eating from the delicacies of Satan. But if you're allowing this to get you to sit on the lap of the Lord and eat and drink from Him and find answers and touch and a healing and an embrace from Him, become intimate with Him, then it's good. Then rejection bears the fruit that God wants it to bear in your and my life. It's amazing. The biggest example of embracing rejection and allowing rejection to produce an amazing, powerful result and powerful fruit is Jesus coming to the earth. Knowing full well it's not going to go well. For the short term, it wasn't. Long term, yes, he knew there'd be a massive breakthrough. But short term, he knew it would not go well. He did not come here blindly. We have a lot of examples of that in Scripture. He actually did not defend himself with Pontius Pilate. Who of you have read the story of where Christ is? I mean, as a little boy, I remember, Jesus, say something. Why do you just accept what this guy's saying to you? Who felt that as a child? Why don't you defend yourself, Lord? Why did you let this guy just wipe the earth with you? But he had to, because he had to receive the rejection. He had to accept what was going to happen to him so that he could buy us back from the grip of Satan. Wash us clean by his suffering. He even welcomed it. Matthew 27, 14. And then Jesus said to Peter. So Christ never even told them to pick up their arms. He never told them to fight, to stand their ground, to attack. He said, when they came to arrest him, he said, let's go peacefully. Let's receive this rejection. Let's receive this attack. And in John 18, 11, it says, but Jesus said to Peter, put your sword back into your sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me? If somebody says that, do you think he's kind of welcoming a lot of pain? Speak to me. Is he embracing it? Do you see what I see? And who he is, a child of God? You must do likewise. Who says ouch and amen? If Christ embraces and welcomes this rejection, shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me? Peter, are you crazy? Don't cut off people's ears. We're here to win a spiritual war, not a physical war, Peter. He's welcoming it. And if you say, I am a Christian, you'll follow in those footsteps. Who here still wants to be a Christian? Half of you. We got a problem, Lon. I'm just teasing. We got a problem. Okay. Here he embraces rejection. The arrest that his religious leaders commanded their temple guards to go arrest Christ was probably the greatest form of rejection that God experienced since the birthing of the Israelite nation out of Abraham. He's been nurturing, he's been mollycoddling them, he's been looking after them for hundreds of years, thousands of years. He comes to the earth to say, I'm the Messiah to save you. And the supposed people that are supposed to recognize him, even the people that shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, were shouting, crucify him a few days later. Aren't we fickle as human beings? They were saying, Hosanna to the highest, like you said this morning. And they were the same. Many of them were the people that crucified him, that were so indoctrinated and manipulated by their religious leaders. So now you sit with rejection that Christ, these are his people. He's created them for his pleasure, his glory. And now they say, we want to kill you. We don't receive your word. We're jealous of you. What does he say in Matthew 23:37? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. He's wanted always just to love on them, and they keep rejecting him. That's rejection. He's saying, why do you keep rejecting me? I want the best for you. Can there be a greater expression of embracing and even welcoming rejection than where Christ teaches us to love our enemies? If somebody's your enemy, you better believe he doesn't like you. That's stating it mildly. Somebody's your enemy, he is, the big word, rejecting you. He's rejecting you. And here Christ says to us, I want you to love like I love. Let's go look at this passage. It's found in Luke 6:29-35. If someone slaps you, which Aaron did, I do forgive him. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Wow. So if I grab Ben's shirt, it's another verse that says he must give me his vest, which he hasn't got on. He must give me more. If somebody grabs something from you, give him even more. And don't take it back. Is that humanly possible? No, not for me. But when I'm consumed by the love of God, if I'm in a deep relationship with the Lord, you better believe it's possible for me. Because then it's not me, it's the power of God, the Spirit of God working in and through me. God wants to use rejection to grow you. He wants you to embrace it, to celebrate it, and even to welcome it. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Love your enemies. They're not going to return the love. Do good to them. They're not going to return the goodness. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Lend them because they're not going to pay you back. Then your reward from heaven will be great and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. So the two great benefits, the two promises that God gives, if we choose to embrace and welcome a rejection, and God says to us, you know what? You will truly receive massive rewards in heaven, reward from heaven, and you'll be acting as my children. Who wants to be known as a child of God? And start receiving and embracing rejection and using it to bring you closer to God. Go find answers from the Lord. Love your enemy. Love those that don't deserve it. Then you truly represent. Then you can say, I'm a child of God, and there's a massive reward from heaven. So Scripture says, you'll truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. And then your reward from heaven will be great. Those are the two benefits of acting this way. Think of Jesus challenging the Pharisees. He provoked them. Would you think by going to the religious leaders of the day and telling them, you whitewashed tombstones, you brood of vipers, are those nice words? No. But they truly were that. He was judging them with his words. As God, he had the right to judge them because he'd given them so much time to receive him as Savior and Redeemer and the Messiah. And he was challenging them. He said, no ways. You think by saying that to the religious leaders, he was actually inviting their rejection? If I call you a brood of viper and I call you a whitewashed tombstone, you're not going to like me. You're going to reject me. Say, Mac, be gone with you. So Christ invited this. He did it on purpose. He challenged him. He said, no more. I will not tolerate you anymore. when he was sweating blood on the Mount of Olives, he knew what was going to happen to him the next day. Luke 22, 39 to 46. When he was sweating blood on the Mount of Olives, he knew what was going to happen the next day. You think he didn't know? Of course he knew. And he was saying, Lord, the rejection that I'm going to go through, the suffering that I'm going to go through is so overwhelming. Is there any way we could skip this? Is there any way we could get out of this, Lord? But not my will, your will. I'd actually like to get out of this right now, but I know I can't. Comfort me. He often mentioned, Matthew 16 verses 21 says, he often mentioned to his disciples of himself being handed over to die and be resurrected on the third day. He often mentions that. So nothing caught him by surprise. He welcomed the rejection from his own people that was going to happen to him. He received it. Hebrews 12:2. He embraced and he welcomed it. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Do you think that's saying, I'm okay with the rejection. I'm okay with the suffering. I'm okay with the crucifixion. You better believe it. Because he knew what would come after the cross. Us, we would be the joy that is set before him. He said on the Mount of Olives, let this beaker pass me by, Lord. Not my will, but your will be done. Luke 22, verses 42. On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses, Elijah, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, it would seem, encouraged Jesus face to face to go ahead with the greatest event of humiliation and rejection that God has ever had. Not saying that's what I think. But I don't think I'm wrong. The cross was the greatest form of rejection and humiliation for the creator of the universe. And Moses and Elijah and God, and the verse says, suddenly two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared and began talking with Jesus. This is Luke 9, verses 30 to 31. They were glorious to see, and they were speaking about his exodus. Does it say that there? His exodus from this world, which was about to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. So before the resurrection and then the ascension, which is the exodus, there was a crucifixion. Do you think that was part of the conversation? Putting the picture together? Him crying, God, this beaker is too big for me. God, can we somehow skip this? If you put all these things together, do you think they were telling him, you need to push ahead? They were encouraging him. They were talking about his exodus. Him having to bear and go through the rejection and the pain. There are many fruits of rejection, but I want to mention only three main ones. First fruit of rejection is finding our value. Our value, our significance, our validation, not in the approval and acceptance of people, but finding it in the approval and acceptance and love of God. That's one of the biggest fruits of rejection. Is not finding our value in what we say to one another and what we think about one another. But what does God say about me? He validates me. He values me. I have his acceptance and his approval. First point is, where do we find our value? God achieves us to, or helps us to realign our value placement from people, our positions, our jobs, our acceptance, our money. Whatever we find our value in, God rearranges that. He recalibrates us to finding our value in who and who alone through rejection. Do you think rejection plays a very good role in that? Because if I find my value in what other people say and what other people think of me and my wealth and my education, my intellect, if I find my value in that, then how is God going to let me see the light? Those things where I find my value in will start batting me, will start rejecting me, will start pushing at me. And then I find my value where? The only other place, the only source of life, that's Jesus Christ. Intimacy with him. Scripture says, find it pure joy when going through various trials and tribulations. Trials and tribulations would have as one of their main ingredients, rejection. Nobody goes through a trial and tribulation and they like you and they accept you. When you're going through trial and tribulation, you better believe they don't like you, they reject you. So we should find rejection as pure joy to produce a rich harvest in our and other people's souls. James 1, verses 2 to 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, and needing nothing. So troubles of any kind, would they have an ingredient of rejection in them? You better believe it. Troubles come through people that resist you, that attack you. But that, the Lord says, find it pure joy. Receive it, embrace it, accept it. As long as you go to God with it and you find answers at the feet of the Lord. The second fruit of rejection. The first was your value. God's value. You replace worldly value with God's value. Second point is it deepens our relationship with the Lord. Nothing can be more beneficial, more valuable to God than you and I walking with Him like this, intertwined, getting to know His heart, getting to know who He is, getting to know how much He loves you and what value He places on your life. It deepens our relationship with Him. Rejection. That's why we say, give me all more rejection, God, because I want to come closer to you. I want to be driven to you. So, a farmer with a sheepdog, you call that, yeah? He uses the sheepdog to bark and chase the sheep towards him. So he's using that rejection. The dog obviously doesn't like the sheep and he's barking and they running away from him so that they can come to their shepherd. God uses rejection to bring us to Him, to come sit at His feet, to seek Him, to search, to hunger and thirst after Him. He'll use it, embrace it, welcome it. Unless the farmer has a sheepdog, the sheep won't come to him. But that attack of the sheepdog, that rejection, that threatening the sheep, causes the sheep to come to the shepherd. And Christ is our. So God wants to use rejection in your life to deepen your relationship with Him. Run to Jesus with rejection and find His perspective, help, and touch in the rejection. Now there's a warning here. Watch out that you don't embrace and welcome rejection because you want to achieve self-righteousness and self-justification. Yes, give me more rejection because I'm actually become holy in myself. I deserve to be forgiven because I'm receiving rejection. Be careful, that's the wrong reason. Wrong motive. Don't say, I welcome rejection because you want to feel that you're achieving your own righteousness. You're achieving your own holiness. You actually deserve to be forgiven because you're receiving rejection. No. Don't go there. That's a dangerous place to go to. The third and the last point is rejection produces character growth. Can you see that rejection can produce character growth? Because now I grow in the fruit of the Spirit when I'm being challenged with the fruit of the flesh that comes against my attempt to have the fruit of the Spirit. I can't really say I have the fruit of the Spirit unless I'm challenged by the fruit of the flesh, the fruit of the enemy, the fruit of ugliness towards me. And when we grow in the fruit of the Spirit under pressure, we grow in our characters. We grow in our characters. When under pressure, we still are able to have the fruit of the Spirit. And when we go with that rejection to the Lord, that pain, that absolute pain that we've experienced through our child rearing, through our fellowship in the church. I mean, a church is a hospital. It's a training base. People here will hurt you. It's part and parcel of the journey. How are you going to grow in unconditional love and forgiveness unless somebody treats you exceptionally bad? But we don't want to hear that. Devin, am I right? We don't want to hear that. Yes or no? Yes, okay. So, I just need some agreement. Thanks, brother. So, unless somebody mistreats me, talks bad about me, doesn't like me, how will I grow in character? if I'm not acting in the opposite spirit towards them, by receiving, accepting that rejection and taking it to the feet of the Lord, saying, Lord, help me to make sense of this pain because it's so painful. I feel so deserted. I feel so left in the lurch. I feel so pushed out. Lord, please help me. Please help me. People, I've experienced such amazing times with the Lord personally as I've gone to God with my rejection. You are not in ministry. How many years are we in ministry now? 1992. You work the maths out. Well, all of most of you were born in 1992, hey? Ben, were you born? Yes, he was born. What, two, 3 years? 89. Okay, 3 years, 4 years. Okay. So, since 1992, we've been... Oh, you guys are a bit older than us, eh? Oh, no. Are you older? Okay. Okay, yeah. So the Lord says to us, since 1992, we have gone through massive storms. And had I not clung to Jesus, I would not be standing here today. I would be an embittered, resentful, miserable, unsaved, backslidden person. But I clung to Jesus for dear life. And he was able to help me to have character in tough times, to turn the other cheek, to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. Last scripture reference, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. If we are to grow in this, if we truly are to represent God, because these verses actually describe the character of God. God doesn't tell us love is patient and kind if he is not the epitome of love, of patience and kindness. Would you agree with me? He doesn't tell us to do something that he's not done, that doesn't describe him. So he says you must have love to such an extent that your love must have patience and kindness in it. So none of this happens. None of this is possible unless we experience the opposite of this and still are able to have patience and kindness. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. So, jealousy has to come my way from other people. Other people must boast about themselves. Others must come with a proudful attitude towards me. Others must be rude towards me. And if I can turn the other cheek and not be jealous, not be boastful, not give kind in kind back to them, not try to stand my ground, not be rude back to somebody that's rude towards me. If I'm able to do that, then I'm growing the character of God in my life by going to God with all of my pain and my rejection. Love keeps no record of being wronged. Ouch, that's a hard one. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So the three fruits of rejection are, just to recap, finding our value because of rejection. Our value through the eyes of God. Deepening our relationship. And thirdly, growing our character. Would you all close your eyes as we finish up? Just give you a few moments just to focus on what we've just spoken of. Just consider the words that were shared now. Just be in your quiet place with the Lord right now. Go into his presence. Step into the throne room of God. It's available. The curtain has been torn. Those of you that say, Lord, with your help, I want to embrace rejection and ask you to use it to grow my character, to find my value in you, and to deepen my relationship with you. Those of you that say, I would like to achieve this, stand up right now. I want to grow in character. I want to deepen my relationship with you. And I want to find my value in you and you alone. would you use all the rejection in my life to achieve this? I need you to help me in this area. I'm as needy as you are. This is the most needy person talking to other needy people. I'm not talking down to you. I'm still walking this journey myself. Would you turn your palms of your hands to the ceiling and just pray in your own innocent way, in your own way, just childlike, like a child, just pray and say, Lord, help me. I want to ask you that all pain and rejection be turned to your kingdom, that it would benefit you. It would benefit my intimacy with you. It would grow my intimacy with you. It would realign my value, found in you only. And it would grow my character. Just pray to the Lord, each one on your own. Anyone here that needs to surrender your life afresh to the Lord, or maybe for the first time, and you don't mind raising your hand for us to ask some leaders to come pray with you. If you mind, it's just come to us after the service and say, you know, I've wandered off. I'm backslidden. I need to recommit my life to the Lord. I need to resurrender. Or you know what? I've never made a total surrender to the Lord yet. And this morning, I want to do it because I need the Lord. Is there anybody here like that? Raise your hand if you don't feel uncomfortable with that. Okay.
Yeah, I felt two things in that message today for us. The one is Jesus wants to embrace you, wants to embrace us. And I think of sometimes we have a hard time coming to Jesus because we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid he might reject us like other people have rejected us. And actually, it's like the prodigal son turning back to go to the Father. When we turn to Jesus, he runs to us and embraces us. So don't let the fear of rejection keep you from his embrace any longer. He is waiting for us with open arms. And the second thing I felt, he actually gave me this morning before I knew this message. He took me to Romans 5:8, and many of us know it super well. It says, he demonstrated his love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And as Mac was preaching and showing us today, the best way we can look like Jesus is to give ourselves for others who have sinned against us. Because that's what Jesus did for us. So actually, you might have been hearing his words today and struggling with it and going, ah, I don't like this message. I don't want to hear this. I can see this face and that face who I'm struggling with right now because they rejected me. And actually, Jesus is saying the way through that is to love that person like I have loved you before you received me. So, just one more little invitation. If you can see somebody in your heart right now that is rejecting you right now or has rejected you, the Lord is asking you to join him in his fellowship of that suffering by saying, Lord, I forgive that person right now. and I receive that rejection as a cause for me to get closer to you. And Lord, help me love that person. Help me love that person, even if they never love me back. And would you, if you are struggling with something like that right now, would you just come forward and let somebody pray you through this? Because we can't do this alone. If there's somebody in your life that, or a situation in your life, or even if it's not about this, but you're struggling with something and you want prayer today, would you come forward for prayer?
Yeah, I also felt, and yeah, can we just keep our eyes closed as well, just to be sensitive to anyone who, I don't know, this might be a hard thing for them to step out, but just really felt like, there's also some here that are currently, like in this moment, woke up today carrying the pain of rejection. And maybe the Lord's even highlighted it while Mac was preaching. And maybe this is the moment. This is the morning where you just actually let that pain push you to Jesus. But you need healing. And so if that's you too, if you're feeling, you know what I did? I woke up almost clouded by the pain of childhood, by the pain of a father or mother. I woke up just experiencing, feeling it, maybe even in a very low-key way or in a far-off way, but you knew it was there. I woke up today with it, and man, I'm so tired of it. Jesus, would you come and heal? Help me make sense of this pain. So if that's you too, we'll come forward. We'll just pray. We'll have some people pray for you. We so like strongly desire you to find Jesus in this pain. How much more does a perfect God desire for you to turn to him, to come to him with it? So would you two bring your current pain to him right now? Let him heal you.
Yeah. So I just want to also say that none of us are immune to this. And even this week, my heart had to process something like this myself. And I had to look at it and go, what am I going to do with this? And there's times where you might feel like everything's good. I don't struggle with this. I haven't been rejected, but maybe you're struggling with being overlooked or not seen or not validated in some way. And that is kind of hindering your journey with the Lord because you're hanging on to that, waiting for somebody to value or validate or see the good that you do, the ministry that you do, the work that you do for the kingdom. And you're going, why are they being selected and not me? Why this and not that? And even that, the Lord is saying, bring that to me. I am your validation. I see you. I know you. And even in that, you can be thankful and bring that to the Lord. And you can say, actually, it's not about me. It's about you, Lord. You are the one on stage. You are the one in the focus. And we want to point all eyes to you.